Ladies and gentlemen, a good Sunday evening to you. Welcome to the Washington Heights Congregation, the Bridge Shoals Virtual Gemara Shir. And my name is Ezra Schwartz, and I'm presenting the shir this evening, and I have no idea why I just gave that introduction, but I'm trying to keep things exciting. Okay, what we're going to discuss tonight is a relatively obscure topic, which is a topic that is basically Maseches Uktzin. Uktzin are stems of fruits. And the halacha is that a fruit becomes tame, but the halacha is not only does a fruit become tame, but the stem of a fruit also becomes tame. The Gemara in Chulin derives this. It's right at the beginning of Perek Ha'arba HaRotov. We derive this from the fact that the Torah writes in Parashat Shmini, V'chi yutan mayim al kol zera zerua asher yizareya, right? That the Torah says that there's a din of hechsher lekabel tuma, that fruit does not become tameh until it came in contact with water or one of the other liquids. We spoke about this briefly last week, but the paradigmatic case in the Torah of fruits becoming tameh is zera zerua asher yizareya, is a seed that is planted. And zok the Gemara in Chulin on Daf Kuf Yud Ches, that when I plant a seed, I also plant the outer husk of the seed. You don't just plant the innermost part. For example, if you look at a peanut, so you have the outermost shell of the peanut, that's called like the exoderm. And then you have like the brown papery stuff on top of the peanut. People know what I'm referring to. Peanuts don't actually naturally grow in containers that say planters on them. Jimmy Carter would tell you that peanuts actually grow on farms. And a peanut and all grains basically have an external coating. Most often there are two different layers of the coating. There's the endoderm and the exoderm. Alko zera zerua asher yizareya tells me that when I plant a seed, I plant the outer kernel, the outer husk, together with the seed as well. So that tells me that just like there's a din of tum'ah on the fruit, there's also a din of tum'ah on the, there's also a din of tum'ah on that outer husk or the like. That is what is called in halacha, that is called the din of yados. That is called the handle of the fruit. There is a din that not only does a fruit become tame, but the handle also becomes tame. And the handle of a fruit can transmit tum'ah to the fruit itself. The fruit can transmit it to the handle can transmit it to the fruit. Those are the dinim of yados. So tonight's topic of conversation is going to be how this halacha of yados relates to the halachos of schach. Let's pick up from the line, like close to the top of the page that you could see. V'amar Rav Abba, amar Rav Huna. Rabbi Abba says in the name of Rav Huna, habotzer legas in lo yados. If I pick grapes, and I pick the grapes in order to put them in the press and make wine, habotzer legas, so ein lo yados. The halacha of yados does not apply. That greenish stem thing on the grape does not have the din of tum'ah if it is a grape for wine making. Apparently, like when I go to Key Food and I buy grapes, those grapes that I'm buying, I'm not making wine in my bathtub here in Washington Heights. When I buy grapes, I'm buying it to eat the grapes. So in those situations, the din of yados does apply to the grape. But Rab Abba says that Bozerli gas, when I cut the grapes, when I harvest the grapes, in order to press them and make it wine, so ein lo yados, then this razzle-dazzle halacha, that the stem becomes tamei, that does not apply to grapes that are picked for winemaking. Rav Menashe Bar Gada Amar, and now we're bringing it back home. Rav Menashe says, in the name of Rav Huna, Hakotzer l'schach ein lo yados. If I cut down grain, and I want to use the grain as schach. Now, this is actually the reverse type of case. When I have a stalk of grain, so it grows in the ground, right? You see my beautiful finger, which represents a stalk of grain. It grows in the ground. At the top of it, you have the actual wheat grains. And there is like a stem that attaches the, what's it called? The part of the wheat that grows in the ground. I don't want to use the term stem.
Stalk.
A stalk.
Stalk.
It's what? I didn't hear? Kayla?
Maybe stalk. The stalk.
The stalk, right. That's a good word. I was unable to think of that term. So stalk. So I'm going to use the stalk as my schach. The question is, does the stem, which is attached to the stalk and also attached to the actual grain, does that stem have the halacha of tumah? So Rav Menashe says that when I am kotzer l'schach, when I cut wheat to use it for schach, in other words, I'm using the stalk as schach, ein lo yados, the stem does not have the halacha of a yad, and therefore, if the stem becomes tamei, it does not transmit its tuma to the stalk, which is what I'm going to be using as the schach. So again, so I have two halachas. I have Rabbi Abba's halacha that when I pick grapes, intending to use the grapes for wine, so the halacha of yados does not apply. And then I have the halacha of Menashe. Rabbi Menashe says that when I am kotzer l'schach, if I cut the wheat in order to use the stalk as schach, so in that case also, the halacha of yados does not apply. And now the Gemara does a bit of analysis. Mad amar kotzer, koshikein, botzer. Delo nichale, delo nematye l'chamre. Rav Menashe, who talks about cutting the stalk, he would agree that the halacha of yados does not apply to the stems of the grapes, because delo nichale, delo nematye l'chamre. No one wants stems in their wine because it makes the wine very putrid. Is that true? Is there any vintners on this call, on the Zoom? No one. At one time, actually, in the show, we had someone who was studying to be a vintner. Nebuch, he was nifter, like a young fellow. He grew up in Teaneck. He was going out to California to learn winemaking. So there is a thing. You can learn how to make wine. And apparently, the Gemara is telling me that when I have those stems that are mixed in with my grapes, it will be nematzye chamre. It will make my wine all yucky. That's a technical term. So therefore, you obviously don't want the stem. So Rav Menashe agrees to Rav Abba that the halacha that stems are tamei does not apply in the case of grapes for wine. But man de amar botzer in lo yados, aval kotzer yesh lo yados, de nichale de lischach behu, kehechi de lo levadran. But the opinion of Reb Abba, who says that this halacha of stems being tamei does not apply to wine grapes, he disagrees with Menashe. He says that the halacha of stem is being tame does apply to kotzer. It does apply to the case when I am cutting the wheat to use the stalks as schach. And the reason for that, zok the Gemara, is because nichale delischach behu hehechad lo levadron. You want those stems there so that it does not spread out. Basically, what the Gemara is saying is that in the case of the stems for wine grapes, you don't want the stem because the stem will make your wine taste yucky. But in the case of the stem on the schach, you want the stem there because the stem helps. Delo levadron, the stem helps so that it doesn't spread out. Now, what does that mean? That the stem helps, that the stem helps so it does not spread out. So if you look at the Tisus over here, Delo levadron is towards the bottom of the page that I'm showing. Delo levadron, Pirish HaKuntris, She'im yavdo rasha shibolim min hakashin yisparadu v'yelchu le'ibud. Rashi says that you want the stems there because the stem keeps the stalk in place. If the stem comes off, the stalk is going to go flying all over. And you don't want you want to keep your stalk because you want your stalk as the schach. So therefore you want the stem because the stem keeps the stalk. Because if you wouldn't have the stem, the stalk would go flying away. That's the way Rashi learns. Tosfos says, V'yesh mefarshim, she'yachbidu roshei shibolin al hakashim, v'lo yisparadu hakashim me'al hasuka beruach. Tosfos has a different explanation, that you want the stems to be there because you want it to make it heavy. If I just have my stalks on top of my sukkah as the schach, so it's not really heavy. If it's not heavy, it could go flying away. You want the stems there, meaning you want the stem, which I guess is attached to the kernels of wheat, which is going to weigh down the schach so it doesn't go flying away. So according to Rashi, the idea is that you want the stems so that before you put it on the sukkah, it doesn't all get lost. According to Tosfos, the Yesh Mefarshim in Tosfos, the idea is I want the stem because once it's on top of the sukkah, I don't want it to all fly off. That's what Tosfos is saying. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and many of the others from point out that what Tosfos is saying is actually interesting, no? What I'm doing is I'm taking a stem, which is really attached to the kernels of wheat. The kernels of wheat are mekabel tuma. I want them there because they weigh down the stalks to keep the stalks on top of my sukkah. That really means that my wheat is what we would call a maimed. Remember, we spoke about this halacha of maimed. Right? There's a halacha, some people are like very frum about this. They don't want anything which is susceptible to tuma to be the support of the schach. Because one can maintain that something that supports the schach actually integrates and becomes part of the schach. And people are very machmir not to have maimed with something that's mekabel tuma. That's why some people are extremely careful to put a piece of wood on top of their fiberglass frame before they put the schach down because of this halacha of maimed. The thing that supports the schach is called maimed, and there are some who are very machmir not to be maimed with a dover that's mekabel tuma, therefore they make sure they have wood underneath it. When you think about this, this is reverse maimed. Because what I'm doing is I am keeping my schach in place by having something that's mekabel tuma on top of the schach. Yeah. I have my wheat kernels. My wheat kernels are mekabel tuma, no? It's a grain. It's a food. It's a food. It's a plain. It's a grain. Right? Superman. It's holding the stalks down. That's a maimed. Tosfos is apparently not worried about this din of maimed. Tosfos is saying that there's no problem with having grains hold these stalks in place, even though the grain is mekabel tumah and it's holding it in place, and even though that would be maimed, Tosfos says, eh, who cares? Right? We pointed out this whole din of maimed is something that people go in gansin meshuggah over. People go crazy over this din of maimed, and as a technical matter of halacha, in the worst case scenario, it's a chumrah shebechumras, and we see from this tesis that they're not nervous about maimed at all. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, so far so good. Peter shook his head, so I assume you are representing everyone. Okay, thank you. So let's go on. Basically, we have the halacha of yados. The halacha that stems are tummy. And the Gemara has two cases where the halacha of stems does not apply. One case is wine grapes, and the other case is schach for a sukkah. Those are two cases where the din of stems does not apply. If you hold of the din of wine grapes, that it is not mekabel tumah, that the stems are not mekabel tumah, so it's entirely possible that you would say that in the case of the schach, it is mekabel tumah. Because by the wine, you really don't want the stems there because it messes up the flavor of your wine. But if you hold of Rav Menashia, you hold that the halacha applies to schach, so then for sure you hold it applies to wine as well. So far, so good, Chevra? Let's go on. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your screen so I could see you and for shaking your head because that way I get some sort of feedback, etc.
Yeah,
okay.
It is, Rabbi Schwartz, it's fantastic, the whole thing, because with the grain, the main thing is actually the stalks of grain. It's not the grain itself. The ikar is that's what produces shade, actually, in the schach. Is not the
correct
grain itself. But so, and also the grain is not ready to be eaten as food as well. It requires reparation. It's kind of similar to the lettuce in a sense. Lettuce was cut. And so that's why I love the previous
thing. In other words, right? So what Joseph is saying is that like last week we spoke about the lettuce and we discussed that the lettuce right now perhaps is a viable schach, but it's going to fall apart later on and not be good as schach. So you're saying that grain is somewhat similar, kind of in the reverse direction. Right now, my kernels of grain are useless, no?
Yeah.
It has the potential to be ground into flour, etc. Right now, you can't really do much with the kernel. Is that your question?
That is correct. And with the lettuce, the same thing. We had the whole discussion that lettuce has to be washed. It's not ready to be eaten. And here you have grain, which is not, but lettuce, the main thing is the food, really. And here it's just the grain.
So,
and it's not
that's a good, I hear your question. The only thing I would say is that we don't think of it often, but a plain, ordinary grain is actually edible. Because what I could do is I could just put that grain in the oven and it becomes very sweet. You know, like oat cluster cereal?
Yeah, parched grain. Oat, yeah, that's what they eat. Yeah.
It's just a grain, a plain grain that you put in the oven and it's edible. It's actually very tasty. So I think the halacha treats an ordinary grain like it is edible at this point, unlike the conversation that we had last week, that maybe the myrrh is not edible. We said from the Pnei Yoshua, perhaps it's only edible when you dip it in charoses or the like, but the Gemara views the grains, it's a little paradoxical, I hear your question, the Gemara views the grains like they are edible already. But let's go on. Right now we're talking about this halacha that stems are susceptible to tumah. It's a din to oraisa that there are stems, but our Gemara says that according to Rav Menashia, the halacha of stems does not apply to schach. Zok the Gemara. Let's pick it up. It's like the second line from the top that's showing over here. Neima d'Rav Menashia bar Gada Tanoihi. The Gemara suggests that maybe the statement of Menashia that the halacha of stems for Tumah does not apply to Schach, maybe that issue is actually a dispute among the Tanoim. The Tanya. We learn, Suche te'enim ubahen te'enim. If I have branches of figs, and there are figs attached to the branches, Parchilen ubahen anovim. You have, okay, I don't know exactly the correct term in English. I don't want to use stem because the stem is like the tiny thing attached to the grape, but you have like the bigger, it's not the full branch. It's like a little branch that attaches to the full vine, right? Is that
it's
correct?
A cluster? Grape,
like
cluster?
Starts?
A cluster?
Cluster. Good. Okay. Thank you. So if I have clusters, parchilin clusters, and there are grapes attached, kashin ubahen shibolin. If I have stalks that are supported by a thicker something, machbedos ubahen tamarim. I have the branches that have the dates on them. Again, with dates also, you have a whole bunch of, you have the tree, then there are branches, and then the dates come down hanging off of it. I'm not exactly sure where our lulav comes from, but I think our lulav is not attached to the actual date. No?
No, it's not.
It's not at all. But the idea is that just like grapes, where I have a whole bunch of clusters attached to stems, attached to grapes, you have this same type of situation over here with all of these fruits. Kulan, by all of these cases, impsoles meruba al ha'ochlim kishera, v'imlav psula. If you have more psoles to the ochel, it's kosher. But if you have more of the inedible stuff, you can use it as schach. But if you have more edible stuff, it's pasul aschach. Acherim omrim hachu kashin merubin al hayados ve'al ha'ochlim. The acherim is another position among the Tanoim. They say that you need the inedible to be a majority more than the grape and the stem. Okay, so let's go slowly. Actually, if you go to the Samaritan villages by Har Gerizim near Shechem, when they make their sukkahs, they're actually very beautiful, absolutely puzzle, no question at all. But their sukkahs have like big fruits hanging down, no? That's what they do. Looks very nice. So let's say as a matter of halacha, you want to do that. You want to have a fancy razzle-dazzle sukkah. So you cut a bunch of grapevines and you put them on top of your sukkah. So the din is that if there is more stuff that is not mekabel tumah, then there is stuff that is mekabel tumah, it's kosher. So if I have more branch, I have more actual vine than I have grapes, then it is kosher aschach. That's one opinion. The second opinion says that you need more vine than grape and stems. You have to make the calculation. It's like very precise, no? You have to measure that you have more actual vine than grape, but not only than grape, the Achirim say it has to be a majority vine versus the grape and the stem. Okay, right? So what is this machlokas? Right? What's this machlokas? The Achirim say it has to be achyu kushin merubin al hayados v'al ha'ochlim. The Achirim say that you have to have more vine than the stems and the grapes. Maila b'hokam miflagi. Demar savar yesh lahen yados. Umar savar ein lahen yados. Presumably the machlokas is whether Rav Menashe is correct. Rav Menashe told me that there is no halacha of stems being tameh when it comes to schach. But the Achirim say that you need more vine than grape stem. That teaches me that according to the Acherim, the stem is Tame against Rav Menashe. So the Gemara is saying maybe this halacha of Rav Menashe is subject to a dispute among the Tanoim. That's the Gemara's question. My lav ha'kam miflegi. Right? If you see, my lav, that this is the machlokas. Mar savar yesh lan yados, umar savar ein lahen yados. Presumably, this is the machlokas. So zuck the Gemara. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines from the bottom. The Gemara says, L'Rabbi Abba, Vaday Tanoihi. Rabbi Abba will say it is definitely a machlokes tanoim. Again, Rabbi Abba said that there is no halacha of stems when it comes to grapes that are used for winemaking. That's what Rabbi Abba says. But Rabbi Abba says that there is a halacha of stems when it comes to schach. That means that the machlokes in the Braisa as to whether there is a halacha of stems by schach, Rabbi Abba is going to tell me that machlokes really is a machlokes, whether he's right. The machlokes is whether there is a din of stems by schach. So according to Rabbi Abba, for sure it's machlokes hatanoim. However, the Gemara says, L'Rav Menashe bar Gada, mi lema tanoihi. Amar lach Rav Menashe, dekuli amasavri hakotzer l'schach ein lo yados, v'hocha b'may yaskinon, kigon shekotzitzon la'achila, v'nimlach aleihen l'sikuch. Rav Menashe is going to say, you know what? When I cut grain, when I cut down wheat in order to use it for schach, so there is no halacha of yados. That din of the stems does not apply. Aye, how come we saw in this source that there are opinions who say that the halacha of stems does apply? Says Rav Menashe, the case is that I cut the grain in order to eat it. Then I change my mind. I have this eureka moment. You're walking down the road, right? And like, wow, maybe I should use this grain as schach. Since originally you had in mind to use it for food, that's why the halacha of stems applies. The halacha that stems becomes tameh applies over here because you originally intended to use it as food. But Rav Menashe is going to say everybody agrees that if I intended that it should be schach, so then the halacha of stems does not apply. So the Gemara says, again, let's just say it again. The hocha b'mayaskin on five lines from the bottom, kigon shekotzitzon la'achila, v'nimlach aleihen l'sikuch. The reason why this opinion says that the din of stems applies is because you cut the grain not to make schach, it's katzitzon la'achila. You cut it in order to eat it, but then you change your mind. Nimlach aleihen l'sikuch. Later on, you change your mind to use it as schach. So Gemara says, whoa, whoa, pause, zakh the Gemara. I katzitzon la'achila, mai tamayhu, d'rabbanon. If you cut it down to eat it, so why would anyone say that the halacha of stems does not apply? I cut it down to eat it. It's regular food, right? You cut down wheat. You're saying, hineni muchan mezuman, I'm going to cut down wheat and I'm going to grind it and make flour and bake challah because there's no longer a bakery in the Heights, right? So I have to cut down my wheat, etc. Right? This is my plan. So if that's your plan, you're making it into food. So of course there's tumah. Of course the halacha of stems applies. Why would the Rabbanon say that it doesn't apply? V'chi tema, zach the Gemara, four lines on the bottom. Kasavri Rabbanon keman dinimlach aleihen l'sikuch bat l'lei machshavto. Maybe the Chachomim say as follows. initially, I cut this wheat down, and my intention was to eat it. But then I have this great moment, my eureka moment. I'm walking down the road, and I say, well, I'm going to use it for schach. Maybe once I decide to use it for schach, botle machshavto, my machshava, my thought, changes the item. It used to be food. It used to have the dinam of tuma, but now it's no longer food. It no longer has the din of tuma. So he says, 1 second, does that work? Right? Can the machshava be mevato in this way? Just thinking, does that change anything? V'hatznan, but we learned the following Mishnah in Kalim. Kol ha-kalim, let me change the page. Oh, I made a mistake. I should be going to 14A, not to... Oh, Vatna, kol ha-kalim yardin l'day tum of machshava, ve'en olam mitumasan ela b'shinui ma'isa. All utensils. Until now, we've been talking about tumah on food. There's also a halacha of tumah, obviously, on vessels, on kalim. Now, the thing is that it's never clear, or it's not always clear, about at what point something becomes a keli. For example, let's say I am a leather tanner. So I take a piece of leather, a plain piece of leather. I can decide that that plain piece of leather is now a tablecloth. Plain leather, that's all it is. So it becomes a keli, no? I make it into a tablecloth. I've never seen a leather tablecloth, but what the heck? It might be easier to, you don't have to launder it as much as like a fabric tablecloth. I don't know why no one ever thought of this idea, to have a leather tablecloth, right? So it can become tame, yardin de tumba machshava. If I have a plain hide, a plain piece of leather, and I decide now it's a tablecloth, so it's yardin de tumba, that gives it tumma. Machshava, my mind makes it tame. Ve'en oila mitumason ela b'shinui ma'isa. But you do not get rid of the tumma unless you make a change, unless you do an action to change it. For example, I decide that my leather is now a tabletop, is now a tablecloth. Then I change my mind. And I say, you know what? I don't want to make the leather into a tablecloth. I'm going to cut it down into smaller pieces and make it into shoelaces. No? So I changed my mind. I think this is no longer a tablecloth. Now it's going to be shoelaces. Well, it became mekabel tuma. It entered the stage that it's susceptible to tuma the moment I say, or I decide, or I think it's a tablecloth. When I change my mind that I now want it to be shoelaces, shoelaces are obviously not going to become tame now because it's not a shoelace yet. And the shoelace won't be tame until the shoelace goes into the shoe. It's like 10 stages from now, no? A shoelace itself is not a keli. A shoelace is part of a larger keli called a shoe. The tuma sets in the machshava. Ve'en oilem mitumas an ela b'shinui ma'isa. Once I say that this leather is a tablecloth, the only way it becomes not tame is shinui ma'isa. You have to do an action. You have to take your X-Acto knife and cut the leather to make it into a shoelace. Until you do an action, it does not lose its tuma status. Ma'isa motzi midei ma'isa umiyad machshava. Machshava ein motziya lo midei ma'isa v'lo midei machshava. The Gemara basically says that an action can overcome a previous action, But machshava does not overcome previous thoughts. Basically, what the Gemara is saying is that with respect to the laws of Tumah and Tahara, once something enters the realm of Tumah because you think that it is Tumah, or you think it is now a Keli, or you think it's food, whatever it is, so just thinking that it's something else does not remove the previous status of Tumah. To bring it back home, Rav Menashe said, well, maybe the case is that you cut the stalk and your intention is to use it as food. The Chachamim say that it's not going to be Tameh, even though you intended to use it for food. Why not? So Menashe says, well, maybe the reason it's not going to be Tameh is because I changed my mind. I say it's no longer food, right? It's like the joke about the Catholic during Lent. He like looks at the piece of meat and says, you're a fish. No, right? You decide that it is no longer food. It's schach. Zach the Gemara, changing your mind doesn't change status of tumah. You thought it's food. Machshava ina maitzia midei machshava. The fact that I thought it's food and now I think it's schach doesn't change anything, because machshava doesn't eradicate previous machshava. You need a maisa. You need an action to eradicate the machshava.
But what, right? isn't it using this for schach, putting it on top of schach already is a maisa that you cut.
So I'm not yet using. You're right, Joseph. Saying if I would already put it on the sukkah to use it as schach, you're right. That would be a maisa. But over here, I have not yet put it on top of my hut. What I have is grains on the ground. My question is whether it can become tummy, or more precisely, whether the stem that is holding the grain can become tummy. If I put it up on the sukkah, perhaps that's called a maisa. But over here, it's on the ground. Initially, I think it's food. Then I change my mind. I say, oh, I'm going to put it up on top of the sukkah. I look at my calendar. I'm like, oh, it's Erev Sukkis. I decide I'm going to put it up. I didn't put it up yet. I did not do a maisa yet. So because I did not yet do a maisa, so machshava is not motzi midei machshava. So the Gemara's question is, what exactly did the Chachamim say? How come there is no halacha of stems in this case? There should be a halacha of stems, because you thought it's food. V'chi tema. Zok the Gemara, v'chi tema, it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines on the top here. I'll scroll up. V'chi tema. Right, it's like close to the top of the page. Hani mili kelim de chashivi avo yados to letzerech achila ninhu b'machshava naase u'b'machshava salka. The Gemara says, well, maybe the halacha that thought does not eradicate previous thoughts. Maybe that's only true of kelim, because vessels are choshev. Right, that's the way the Gemara says it. Vessels are chashav. So therefore, thought does not eradicate thought with respect to vessels. But over here, in our context, I'm talking about stems for eating. So maybe because it's not so important. What's a stem? It's mamish, it's garnish, it's flimsy. So, but over here, that the stem is for eating. So therefore, I would say, yados l'tzarech achila ninhu b'machshava naseh. Maybe the halacha is that thought can eradicate thought by stems, but not by kalim. So let's know that can't be true. V'hatznan, but we learned in Mishnah, in Uktzin, right? I assume that everyone knows that. What does the Gemara say that, like, in the generation of Chizkiyahu or somebody, they would go from Dun until Be'er Sheva, and they didn't find a little kid who did not know Maseches Uktzin. Everybody knew Uktzin like the back of the hand, and in the generation of Achav or something, no one knew any Uktzin. Yet in the generation of Achav, they win wars. In the generation of Chizkiyahu, they lose wars. Is that what the Gemara says? Because they, whether or not they get along, it's more about the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, whether you'll be successful in war, than it is about whether you know Uktzin. But there is a mission in the first pack of Uktzin. But now, Kol Yadus HaOchen Shem Bosses in Begoren Tahoros. The Mishnah in Uktan says that if I have stems and then I do something called Bosseson, we do not yet know what this word Bosseson is. But if you do Bosseson, so then it no longer has the status of a stem, which is Tameh. Stems are ordinarily Tameh, but once I do Bosseson, so then it becomes Tahar. Now, Bishlam Alamanda Amar Bosseson means Hiter Agudan Shapir. One opinion is that Bosseson means that Hiter Agudan, that you undo the bundles. One opinion says that when the Mishnah tells me that the stems which previously were Tamei, now they lose their Tamei status because of Bosseson. One opinion is that Bosseson means you undo their bundles. If that's the case, that's not really a significant action. Undoing a bundle, you're not really doing anything, you're undoing. So we could suggest that according to that opinion, that Bosseson means hitir agudan, that Bosseson means you undo the bundles, so then we could say that by uktin, that by these halachos of stems, maybe machshava can eradicate a previous machshava. Because since Bosseson works, and according to this opinion, Bosseson means untying, and untying is relatively similar to machshava, so that would be good enough. Ella, lemandama, my Bosseson, Bosseson mamish, my ikalamemar. If you're going to say that Bosseson means Bosseson mamish, you can say that Bosseson means that you stamp on it, so then you have no evidence that machshava can eradicate a previous machshava. If I think that it's food beforehand, I can't just have it lose its status of a stem because now I decide it's for schach, because you have to actually trample it. So Gemara says, no, maybe hachanami shebasasan mamish. Maybe the case is that originally you decided that this grain is food, but then you've changed your mind and you're going to use the grain as schach. But not only do you change your mind to use the grain as schach, you also start jumping up and down on this grain and you do Bosseson, right? Your neighbors ask you, what are you doing? You're such a meshugana. You're like jumping up and down on the grain. You say, no, I'm doing Bosseson, right? Sukkadaf Yudalan. Like I'm explaining exactly what I'm doing. No questions whatsoever. This is my Bosseson. Mrs. Maybe that's the case. Maybe the reason why the Chachomim say it does not have the din of a stem is because you actually jump up and down and you do the hokey pokey, and that's why it loses its status of stem. He says, one second, Ihachi, if that's the case, my tamayu da achirim, why would the achirim disagree? The achirim said, we had this right on the previous page, the achirim said that you need enough vine. You need more vine than grape and stem. Why do I have to be mevatel the stem? Because the stem is tamei. But the Gemara says, one second, if you're jumping up and down on it, you're mamish doing Bosseson. You're jumping up and down on the stems and you're cracking those stems. So why would anyone say the stem is still tamei? This is no. I'll tell you why. Because we go like the opinion of Reb Yossi, Ditznan, that we learned in that same Mishnah in Uktzin. Reb Yossi is metame. Reb Yossi says that even Bosseson does not help. Reb Yossi says that once something had the status of a stem and it becomes tame, even jumping up and down on it does not help. Sigma says, hold it, one second. Hi, Mai, what's going on? Bishlama hasam tamei Reb Yossi, chazya lich Reb Shim ben Lakish, damer Shim ben Lakish, ho uruyos lahafchan ba'atar. Reb Yossi, how come Reb Yossi says that Bosseson does not help? You had something that was a stem, right? A stem is mekabel tuma. Now I jump up and down on it, and I break it open. So presumably it's no longer a stem. Why would Reb Yossi say that it still remains tame? So the Gemara says the reason why, according to Reb Yossi, it remains tame is because of a statement of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, Hoel Ureuyos Lahufchan Da'atar. The fact that the stem is still somewhat attached, it's broken apart, but it still does something. It makes it easier to flip with a pitchfork. People know what a pitchfork is?
Yeah.
Look at C.S. Lewis, right? Right, doesn't, okay, whatever. So a pitchfork works better if you have stems because it's wider and you could flip the stuff more. Or in our equivalent, like a rake. It's the same type of thing. What Reb Yossi is saying is that even after you crack the stems a bit, still you want the stems there. There is still some advantage because it's re'uyos lahufkan ba'atar, because you can flip it with the pitchfork more easily. So I understand that, Zuck the Gemara, in the context of the ordinary foods that your buses on, ordinary foods that you jump up and down on, you could say that according to Rabbi Yossi, it still is tameh because it helps with the pitchfork. But in our case, by the grains, elahacha l'may chazya. Over here, what do the stems help? If you already jumped on it and you broke those stems up, you're not going to flip grain with a pitchfork. Is that true? I think it's true. Right? The Gemara says, l'may chazya, what does it help? What does the stem help? You're not going to flip it with a pitchfork. So Gemara says, no. Chazya, it helps. Right? It's now you can see it's at the top line. Chazya l'chi sasar. The stem still helps because when you knock the sukkah down at the end of sukkah season, you'll take the sukkah down, you will use the stem to pull the schach off more easily. Okay, let's just review what we had. It's somewhat going back and forth. It's somewhat intricate in terms of the basic Gemara. But what we have is a statement of Rav Menashe. Rav Menashe says that the halacha that stems are tameh does not apply to schach. The Gemara has a question. What do you mean? We saw an opinion that you need more vine than grape and stem, or more vine than stem and wheat. You have to be mevatel the stem. That means that the stem itself is tameh. And Rav Menashe says the stem is not tameh. So the Gemara says, no, that case where the stem is tameh, we're talking about a situation that initially you think that you want to eat it. And that's why it's tameh as a stem. So Gemara says, 1 second, if you think about you want to eat it, so why would anyone say it's not tameh? Gemara says, oh, you changed your mind. Gemara says, changing your mind doesn't help because you have to do a maisa. Gemara says, no, you did a maisa. The maisa is that you stomp up and down on it. You do basasan. So Gemara says, basasan, shouldn't that make it tahar? Says, no, we're going like Reb Yossi, that basasan doesn't make it tahar. Even though you do basasan, even though you stomp up and down on it, it is still tameh. Gemara says, 1 second, Reb Yossi, that's only because it helps with the pitchforking. But in our case, that you're not pitchforking the grain, what does it help at all? What advantage does the stem have? What myla does the stem have? Gemara says, no, I'll tell you the myla. The myla of the stem is that it is going to be easier to pull the schach down at the end of sukkah season. That's what the Gemara basically says.
Also probably to put it on the schach, on top, also use pitchfork to put it on top of the
schach. You can use a pitchfork to put the schach on top?
Again, sure. Let's use pitchfork for.
Even with grains, do people ever use a pitchfork with grains? My understanding of this Gemara is that pitchforks are not used. Again, I am probably the biggest Amo Aretz on this planet when it comes to this type of thing. But I think what the Gemara is saying is that we're not using the pitchfork idea because a pitchfork is not usually used with grains. By other foods, you have the pitchfork, but by grains, you don't. Again, whether it's correct or not, I don't know. I really, I don't know at all. Okay, let's just read on the Gemara. There's like two more points to make. Let's try to complete this Gemara tonight. Gufa. You see it from the top, Gufa. Rashi actually comments that ordinarily in Shas, the term Gufa is only used to introduce or to reintroduce a statement of Amoraim. Right? The term Gufa is not introduced on a Talmudic statement. It's only on an Amoraic statement that we go back to. So Rashi says, I asked my Rebbeim, how can we use the term Gufa over here when it is a statement from a Mishnah? So Rashi quotes, V'amar li Rebbe, it's like three lines before the Mishnah in Rashi. Now, can you say Gufa? It's a statement of Amoraim. V'amar li Rebbe, my teacher taught me. Rashi doesn't say which of his teachers it was. He had a few different teachers. My Rebbe told me, Mishum dahach Mishnah mina taharos. She'ein mehem shum gemara ba'olam, v'lo mifureshes kishar mishnayis, afikach noegashas lomar gufa kidei lafaresh. Right? Rashi gives us a statement that mishnayis and taharos, there's no gemara on it, people don't know what it really means, so therefore we use the term gufa in order to expound on it more, even though that term is usually only used for Amoraim's statements. But over here, we use it for a statement of Tanoim because a statement of Tanoim and Uktzin, come on. Basically, right? We don't expect that you really know Uktzin. So Gufa, let's just go on in the Gemara. Ko yados ha'ochlin shebasasan tahoros. Right? If you have these stems and then you do basasan, it's tahar. Reb Yossi says it's tamei. My basasan, what does that term basasan mean? Reb Yochanan says it's basasan mamish. And Rabbi Elazar says, Hiter Ogdon. Right? Rabbi Yochanan says you're stomping on it. Rabbi Elazar says that you're undoing the bundles. Bishon, Rabbi Elazar, Dom, Bossasan is Hiter Ogdon. Hainu Dumitame. I understand according to Rabbi Elazar that Bossasan means you just untie it. That is why Rabbi Yossi would still say it's Tame. El Rabbi Yochanan, Dom, Bossasan, Mamish. But if you say it really means that you stomp on it, why would Reb Yossi say it's Tameh? So the Gemara says, Amresh Lakish, ho ru'uyos la'hafchan ba'atar. Since it helps that you could flip it with the pitchfork, it's exactly the same thing as we said beforehand. Zak the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Right? The Gemara in Yevamis has the same statement. If you look at the side of the page, they quote this from Rabbi Yitzchak rather than quoting it from Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Lama nimshala tfilosan shel tzadikim ka'atar. How come prayers of tzadikim is like a pitchfork? Right? It's almost like this is something a Rebbe would say, like to wake you up. But in this past week's parasha in Toldos, Vayetar Yitzchak l'Hashem l'nochach ishto ki akorahi vayeaser lo Hashem. Right? We have that word atar, that shoresh, right? Ayin Tuf Resh, that Shoresh Atar is one of the terms for prayer. Vayatar Yitzchak Lashem. Frek the Gemara, that word Atar means pitchfork. How come the prayer of Tzadikim is like a pitchfork? Lama nimshel tfilasan shel tzadikim ka Atar. Lo malocha. Ma Atar ze mahapech satavua begoren. Just like a pitchfork flips the grains in the silo, mimaka and mimaka, it moves it from place to place. If I need to move grain from this area to that area, I take my pitchfork and I flip it. It moves it mimaka and mimaka. Aft filosan shel tzadikin, mahapeches dato shal kodesh baruchu, mimidas achzorios, limidas rachmanos. The tefila of a tzadik is like a pitchfork because it changes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's da'as, as it were. It changes God's da'as from achzarius to rachmanus. It takes it from cruelty to compassion. Tefillah is like a pitchfork because the pitchfork moves stuff from place one to place two, and the tefillah changes the da'as of the Ribbono Shel Olam. In the context of Yitzchak, so Chazal say that the Imahos were all Akaros. They were all born incapable of having children. The tefillah of Yitzchak, Vayei Oser Lo Hashem, was like a pitchfork. It flipped it. it made it go from Achzarius to Rachmanus. Apparently, a few things. This koach of tefillah serving as a pitchfork is not for everyone. There are many different terms for tefillah. I think of Shimshon Pinkus has a whole sefer where he analyzes, there are like 10 different terms in Chazal for tefillah. But the tefillah of tzaddikim is the only tefillah that is called atar. Ordinarily speaking, I as an individual cannot change the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now again, Malachi, the Navi that we read last week, says, Ani Hashem lo sheni, the Ribbono Shel Olam is never going to change, right? The Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to change at all. But on some level, tzaddikim have the ability, I'm not sure what it means, but to change the Ribbono Shel Olam from Achzarius to Rachmanus. That's something that ordinary tefillah does not have. Ordinary tefillah has the ability, the way the Sefer HaYikarim, Yosef Albo, explains. When I daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not asking God to change. God is not going to change. The idea is that I'm going to change. When I dive into Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm not asking for miracles. I'm not asking that stuff that is X should change to Y. You're not allowed to dive in for miracles. Tzaddikim, though, have more of a koach hatfilah than an ordinary person. If you know that someone's an akara, if you know that someone is incapable of having children, it can't happen. Right? The doctors did every test on the planet. It's not going to happen. We'd assume that you can't daven for that. Ein maskirin maisa nisim. You don't daven for something miraculous to happen. But the tefillah of tzaddikim is an atar. The tefillah of tzaddikim is like a pitchfork, and it could change the Ribbono Shel Olam to move from achzarius to rachmanus, and even things which in the normal course of events cannot change. You're an akara. You're an akar, right? The avos and the imahos were both incapable of having children. But ayudei the tefillah of a tzaddik vayei osr lo Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam changed that Rivka was able to produce children. That's how I understand this Gemara. Again, I'm not sure, but the idea of tefillah being somehow like a pitchfork is just an interesting image in my mind. Okay, ladies, gentlemen, questions, comments, observations? Okay, so thank you for listening. Someone has to do some research about exactly when pitchforks are used and not when they're not used. There's also actually a little bit of a discussion over here in the Tosfos what that word atar means, which French word is it, right? Tosfos quotes from Rashi, that's a fala. A fala, I believe, a fala is like a board that you throw the grain up. Tosfos says, no, it can't be a fala, because for a fala, even without the yados, even without the stems, you can just throw it up on the board, like winnowing or something. The melach of Zorah on Shabbos, you use a fala. Rather, Taisa says he thinks it's a forka. You see that word forka? Mm-hmm. Right? Forka, I think, is pei, vav, resh, kuf, aleph. That, I think, means fork, pitchfork, right? Yeah. That, so basically, it's not fala, it's forka. Okay, Chevra, thank you for listening, and we should have a wonderful evening and continue to learn Torah. All the best. Have a good night.